May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Riches, beauty, harmony, society. So many wonderful things. All these things are what riches and wealth and money may buy. We are warned that we should beware a love of the world in disorder. We are taught that there are different ways of thinking of love. And in this passage, we are told that there are three kinds of love: spiritual love for the neighbor and the Lord, and then love of the world, and love of self. So for now, think of those three loves: spiritual love for the neighbor and the Lord, love of the world, and love of self. Love of the world is in order and is a okay thing when it is in order. But in disorder, when it rules, it can lead to hell. Knowledge is what riches represent. And we can think of riches when we think of a true love of the world. Do we have a love of knowledge for its own sake? Or elsewhere in the Heavenly Doctrine it says, seek, do you have a love of riches for their own sake? Or, kings know that they should not love the wealth for its own sake. Indeed, if you search the Heavenly Doctrines for the phrase for its own or for their own sake, time and again you will hear admonitions against love of the world. In a sense, you can think of love for the world being disorderly when it becomes for its own sake. For example, here on earth, it is insane to love money for its own sake. Money itself has no value. It is merely a tool, a piece of technology to be used for good or for evil, like any other tool. We saw in the memory relation read to the children how insane this can be. But it is not only money that can be worshipped for its own sake. Knowledge itself can be worshipped for its own sake. You can think of this as the kind of person who continually goes back to school, goes to college, and then maybe graduate school, might get a law degree, and then a PhD, then maybe finally having a job, long for the wonderful time of school when they can pursue the purity of knowledge and we're not bogged down by having to work for money. Such an insanity is still a love of the world. And you can imagine, and we are told in the Heavenly Doctrine, that there are false heavens and true hells for people who love nothing more than gathering up useless knowledges. Further, one's health can be a love of the world. We tend to think of health as a love of self. But if you worship health itself for its own sake, then you worship it not just for yourself, but for everyone else. Have you ever wished that if only everyone were healthy, then the world would be fine? Health is not an end in and of itself. Wishing an individual to be healthy is good, but why? You can see magazines, television shows, entire industries dedicated to health, as if it were the greatest good. You can see people foolishly equate eating healthily with being moral, or being healthy, as if being healthy was a thing other than a piece of natural substance, a means to an end. Similarly, with other good things, like a love of the world, of Earth, we are obviously to be caretakers of Earth. But when we put that above a love of the neighbor, or of truth, or of the Lord, we pollute it. We become lovers of the world. There are many such examples. We can see it when we compare it to other things we might sacrifice, namely the neighbor, the truth, and the Lord. Think of the earth. We love the earth. It serves us. It was given to us by God, and we are its stewards, and we should love it. But if we are willing to sacrifice the neighbor for the good of the earth, or if we are willing to sacrifice the truth or the Lord, then our love of the earth is dragging us into hell. You can see this by saying we should punish this individual for the sake of the earth. Or if you make excuses for a politician's immoral and hateful behavior because he's serving the greater good. Or if you give up obedience and humility to the Lord because you are serving a greater good, whether it be for the earth, for the health of others, for the wealth or education of others, for any natural end. An even easier way to see a love of the world is in a love of one's business or occupation. We are told that we should love our youth, but it is all too easy to misequate our job with a youth. Our job serves a use. If we are a chef or a farmer or a teacher, we are serving a use. And cooking and farming and teaching in and of themselves are not good. They are things we do that serve the neighbor and the Lord. We can see this perversion easily in the man who neglects his family for the sake of his job. It is a tough balance, but we can ask, are they sacrificing their family, individual neighbors, for the sake of their honor, their reputation, their gain, their sense of worth in their occupation? Are they giving up their worship to the Lord, giving up humility and obedience for the sake of their job? It is common in the world to think of a love of business as a love of the world. And it is clearly so. As long as it is a love of business for its own sake. Thankfully, all these things, a love of the earth, love of education, a love of business, a love of your job, a love of any of these natural goods, are good when they are not for themselves, but for the sake of others. But how do we tell? We are admonished in the heavenly doctrines a number of times to not judge the souls of others. We cannot know why an individual dedicates themselves to a cause or to a job or to any activity. But we can judge ourselves. And that is what the Lord is inviting us to do in repentance. Repentance is not the repentance of a society or of a kingdom. It is the repentance of each individual examining themselves, seeing if there is any evil in them, asking the Lord for help, and living anew. We are invited to examine our motives. Why do we work so hard for our or another's health? Why do we work for our jobs? Why do we work for the earth, or for politics, or for society, or even for our church organization? We can each individually only answer this question ourselves. And then we can only answer it with help from the Lord. We are taught that no one might know their love. It is a tricky thing. You can each imagine for yourselves something that you spend a great deal of time and worry on. How do you know that you are doing it for a love of the neighbor and the Lord, and not for a love of the thing itself, or even for yourself? The writings tell us to search our feelings. Ask what brings you delight. Returning to a person who's obsessed with work to the neglect of their family, ask yourself, do you get delight from avoiding your family? Or if it is someone who is obsessed with the earth, do you get delight out of an environmental victory over the freedom or benefit of an individual or neighbor? Where do you draw your delight from? Those delights will teach you about your loves. Search your delights. Examine them. Be honest with yourself. What brings you delight? Those delights will point to your affections and your loves, will give you a clue. So often, when we begin a work, we enjoy the work itself. We may enjoy doing the work of teaching. We may enjoy avoiding our family. We may enjoy victory over others. We may enjoy accumulating wealth, goods, and services. This is the natural state that we are born into. We are all sinners in this sense. If you assume that this is not my problem, this is not my problem is what you're thinking, then you are not being fully honest. We are all born with a delight towards this love of the world. And only through asking the Lord for help can that change. If you see yourself delighting in your job, avoiding family or friends, having victory over other, or wealth, do not despair. It is normal. But know that it is not healthy in and of itself. Ask the Lord to remind you why you do all these things, why you gather the riches and wealth of the world, the honor and the reputation and the gain, why you work for such important things. Remind yourself. Ask the Lord to remind you. Thankfully, the Lord has given us wonderful tools of reminding. He has implanted in each of us remains from childhood and continues to do so throughout our lives. These remains are affections for goods and truth that can be stirred up whenever they encounter a good or truth in the world. If you're avoiding your family, next time you come home, look your wife or husband in the eye and be reminded. Come to church regularly to be reminded of the true purpose of all we do. Read the word daily to be reminded so that the angels might stir your affections for good and truth, so that you may be reminded why you do all these things. Because the love of the world is dependent on fantasy, on being blind to the rest of reality. And so the love of the world is weak and will shatter like a glass plane before the truth of the Lord. So invite the Lord's truth in every way you can. Read daily, pray to the Lord for help, and he may order your loves so that your love of the world might serve the neighbor and might serve the Lord. Amen. And now to the one God of heaven and earth, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.